All right, James, please take a seat.
Thank you.
You can take off your mask. For the record, please state your name, your occupation, and the positions you hold.
My name is James Jerome Lim. I am an economist. I am an associate professor in the French Business School, a member of parliament representing Sengkang GRC, the deputy head of the policy research team for the Workers' Party, and the proud father of a 2-year-old daughter.
The evidence you'll be giving today before the committee will be taken on oath. If you so desire, you can also take an affirmation. Clerk, please administer the oath.
I'll do the affirmation.
Okay, you may rise, please. And you can recite the affirmation now. Raise your right hand.
Okay. I, James Jerome Lim, do solemnly, sincerely, and truly declare and affirm that the evidence which I shall give before this committee shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Please be seated. The Committee of Privileges is looking into the complaint made by the Leader of the House, Ms. Indrani Rajah, against former member of Sengkang GRC, Ms. Reza Khan, for breach of privilege. Thank you for attending today's hearing to give evidence before the committee and to answer the questions which members of the committee would like to put to you. You have taken a solemn obligation to answer our questions truthfully. If you refuse to answer our questions directly or attempt to mislead the committee, such behaviour will be an offence and in contempt of this committee. I'll hand over to Minister Desmond Lee for questions.
Good afternoon, Dr. Lim.
Hi.
Can you just, maybe I just give you some background?
Please.
You would be familiar that Leader of the House had referred former Sengkang GRC MP, Ms. Raisa Khan, to the Committee of Privileges after her personal statement on the 1st of November this year.
That's right.
You would recall that statement?
The statement?
Yes, she made in Parliament.
Yes.
Yeah. And therefore, the remit of this committee is to ascertain the following. First, the facts, whether Ms. Khan did or did not lie to Parliament on those two occasions,
mm-hmm.
3rd of August and the 4th of October this year. And the second responsibility of the COP is to determine the level of responsibility, assuming that she did indeed state untruths to Parliament. And in determining the level of culpability, we need to understand the circumstances, what happened, what was she motivated by, did she speak to anyone, did she get any advice, what were the aggravating or mitigating circumstances, and then we'll be in a better position to make a recommendation to Parliament.
I understand.
So we would welcome your assistance to the committee to help us understand what had happened.
Yeah. I'm here to help.
Yeah. You were in Parliament when you heard the personal statement by Ms. Khan on the 1st of November. And that related to the 3rd of August and 4th October statement she made regarding an anecdote about the police
mm-hmm.
and a sexual assault survivor that she had allegedly accompanied to a police station, and that turned out to be a false statement. You recall that?
I recall, yes.
Prior to the 1st of November personal statement by Ms. Khan, there was a CEC meeting by the Workers' Party on the 29th of October.
I cannot remember the date, but it was that Friday just before the statement, yes.
And you were present?
I was present, yes.
Was that usual CEC meeting day or was it specially
called? No, it was an extraordinary CEC meeting.
And who called for it? If you recall.
I cannot recall, but my guess would generally be either the organizing secretary, who would be Dennis, or it would have been Pritam or Sylvia, one of the two.
Thank you. And at that extraordinary meeting, the COP is given to understand that Ms. Khan had read out a draft of a statement that she was going to make on the 1st of November.
That's right.
And you heard her recite the draft.
Correct.
Orally.
Yes.
Yes. And do you recall if any member gave any feedback, suggestions?
So we discussed what she would say. In particular, she had shared that, and that was the first time that I had heard it, that she was a sexual assault survivor.
Hmm.
And There was some discussion among us about that. And I cannot speak for the others, but for myself, I have felt that was something that was important to state. I think since then, others have shared online as well as elsewhere that it could sound like an excuse. I disagreed with that. I recommended that she share that background, that context, because, so I'm a professor of economics. I traffic in rationality, and for me, what she shared was a little bit irrational in terms of why she lied, not what she shared, but why she chose to speak an untruth in Parliament to back up the background. And so I thought it was important that she shared with the House her thinking, as I hesitate to use the word convoluted, but it conflated incidents. And so I felt that it was important that she shared that context.
Thank you. And so you're saying that there were some suggestions that she not include her personal experience in her personal statement, but you replied to the contrary. You felt it was necessary for her to state this. And this was all on the 29th of October.
This was on the 29th. I wouldn't say that there were some suggestions, but there was discussion about this part, whether it was... why she chose to share this aspect. And my view was that it was important that she share it.
And what you said was said on the 29th of October meeting.
On that meeting, I shared what I just shared with you, yes.
Prior to this CEC extraordinary meeting on 29th October, were you aware when the meeting was called what the meeting would be about?
I vaguely knew it might be about Raisa. Mm-hmm. But I did not know the contents of that meeting. I didn't know what we were specifically going to discuss.
So by the 29th of October, you would have known that Ms. Khan had said the untruth in Parliament in
that
August
Friday,
and October.
Yes.
That very day itself or prior to that?
No, that day itself.
So prior to 29th October, you were not aware?
I was not, unfortunately.
Okay, not aware that she had... made falsehoods to Parliament.
Yes, I was not aware.
So the first time you found out was when she read out her statement and you realised that she was in fact saying to you and the rest of the CEC present that she had she's actually confessing to a lie on the
That's 3rd, right.
Of August and 4th October.
So prior to that, I believe she had shared with Parliament that she had lost contact with the person, and that was public knowledge. And that was what I thought was the issue.
Thank you. When did you, as a member of the CEC, receive a request for approval to form a disciplinary panel?
Oh,
was it on the 1st or 2nd November, if you can recall? Or was it much earlier? November, I'm sorry.
I cannot recall. But I believe it occurred after that statement was made in Parliament.
Okay. Maybe I just draw you to the document in front of you. Maybe the assistant clerk can help. Page 152. And this is a WhatsApp exchange between Ms. Raisa Khan, Ms. Lo Peying, and Mr. Yudhishthira Nathan. I'm not sure if you are acquainted with Ms. Lo Peying.
I have heard of this, yes.
And are you aware of
Well, assuming that it's the same, I have not seen it quite yet.
If you look at page 152, is that before you?
Yes.
You see somewhere the 2nd of November, 11:35 a.m., somewhere near the middle.
I see it, yes. TSEC.
Ms. Raisa Khan.
Yeah.
Basically, before that, she's basically telling Ms. Lo Peying, please don't share this message with anyone. And so it's, dear CEC, I seek your urgent approval to set up a disciplinary panel to look into the admissions made by MP Raisa Khan in Parliament. The panel will comprise of chair, which should be Ms. Sylvia Lim, myself, I presume this is Mr. Pritam Singh, and vice chair for your urgent consideration and approval. Was that what you received?
So I'm a little confused because I guess that was probably a forwarded message. Because
it was a forwarded message.
Yeah, so it looks of course, I cannot recall the precise wording, but it looks very similar to... it would have been consistent with what I thought I received, yes.
So you received a message of roughly this form, and you replied to approve the CEC?
I believe that I would have replied to approve, yes.
And when you approved, you would know that the DP would comprise Mr. Pritam Singh, Ms. Silver Lim, and Mr. Faizal Manap.
Well, it says so there. Yes,
myself,
so yes.
Chair yes. and Vice Chair.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I draw your attention to an email from Ms. Silver Lim to Raisa Khan forming the disciplinary panel? This would be in the submission by Ms. Khan dated 2nd December. And there's a Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have it in front of you?
It's a
formal
yes.
letter transmitted via email dated 2nd November, 6:35 p.m. by Ms. Silver Lim to Ms. Khan, copied to Mr. Pritam Singh and Mr. Faizal Manap.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you look at the text, as you are aware, CEC or Workers' Party has constituted a DP comprising the following persons to inquire into your recent conduct as a WP Member of Parliament. The specific episode to be inquired into is that you had conveyed untruths in the course of your parliamentary speech on the 3rd of August, and then it sets out the anecdote about the police and the sexual assault survivor. And you repeated this claim on 4th of October when again asked in Parliament on the matter. However, it's not true, and it went on to set it out.
Mm-hmm.
You told the House on 1st November that you had instead relayed what was shared by a survivor in a women's support group in 2018. So basically, this letter telling Ms. Khan that the two episodes are in relation to the 3rd of August and 4th of October.
I understand.
And the next paragraph, the DP is tasked to investigate this episode and recommend to the CEC whether there are grounds to take action against you for violation of Article 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you would agree that this DP was set up to look into the facts involving those two episodes and then to make recommendations on appropriate action, yeah?
So to be clear, I did not receive this particular email, so I'm reading the text for the first time, but it does seem consistent with the text we received as the CEC to form the disciplinary panel.
So would that mean that the DP would then recommend, would make findings and tell the CEC facts as to why Ms. Khan lied, you know, what were the surrounding circumstances, what would be aggravating or mitigating circumstances, and then put to the CEC some recommendation on appropriate next steps?
To be quite honest, as you all know, I'm a political rookie, so I don't know what a disciplinary committee is meant to do. But my sense was that it would gather the facts, as you described, and it would make a recommendation to the CEC.
So in essence, find out whether she did lie or not, and then what is the level of culpability, whether it's a serious matter or is it mitigated by some circumstances, right?
It was to investigate the episode. As it says here, I don't know whether... specifically in your words, I would rather go with the words here, which is it was that they are tasked to investigate the episode and recommend to the CEC subsequent actions.
And as a member of the CEC appointing a disciplinary panel, you would assume that the panel looking into this matter would be disinterested from the episode and the surrounding circumstances. That means no personal interest, no involvement in the facts for which they're supposed to investigate. Would that be a fair assumption as a rookie member, as you call yourself?
I understand. I think that if there was anything material, I trust that the leadership would have shared that with us.
Okay. We have been sitting for a number of days and hearing evidence from... the senior leadership of the Workers' Party, as well as Ms. Khan herself, former member of parliament, as well as some Workers' Party cadre members who also came to testify before the committee. And we've gathered some facts and claims from all the different witnesses, and we are asked to consider the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
When you gave your approval for the formation of this DP as a member of the CEC, did you know at that point in time that Ms. Khan had already confessed that she had lied on the 3rd of August to Mr. Pritam Singh on the 7th of August.
No, I did not.
Did you know at the point in time that Ms. Khan had not only on the 7th of August confessed to Mr. Singh, but on the 8th of August confessed to Mr. Singh, Ms. Sylvia Lim and Mr. Faisal Manap about her untruth on the 4th, on the 3rd of August?
No, I did not.
You recall on the 4th of October, the Home Affairs Minister had, in a ministerial statement, asked Ms. Khan to verify whether her anecdote was true or false, and she said that she repeated that it was true. You recall that?
This was Minister Shanmugam.
Yes.
I believe I recall something of that. Again, I cannot recall the specificities.
Yes. And the uncontested evidence by all the witnesses was that on the 4th of October, when Ms. Khan repeated that falsehood in Parliament, there were three other people in Parliament who were aware that it was a repeated lie. Mr. Pritam Singh, Ms. Sylvia Lim, and Mr. Faisal Manap. They sat in Parliament, or they later came into Parliament on that day, found out about or heard what she had said, knew that it was untrue. Were you aware when you approved the CEC forming the DP that these facts were existing?
No, I did not. And of course, contemporaneously, I did not know that that this was the case.
Thank you. Can I bring to your attention this WhatsApp exchange between Mr. Pritam Singh and Ms. Lo Pei Ying? And this is from the bundle submitted by Mr. Pritam Singh.
Okay.
It says WhatsApp messages between Pei Ying and Pritam.
Thanks.
It's a few pages of WhatsApp message reproduction.
Would you like me to read through
maybe
it myself?
I'll take you through, and as I go through, you know, stop me if I'm going too quickly. The first page is from Ms. Lo Pei Ying, whom you're familiar with, yeah?
Yes, I know her.
You know her. And she says, you know, "Hi, Pritam, I've tried to reserve my comments on the DP so far. I saw the message that was sent out to everyone." Now, I stop you there. You see that first paragraph? The very first paragraph.
This was the copied picture or the...
This one here. Is this the one that... Dr. Lim has?
Did I not get the right page? Mine starts with a snapshot followed by, "Hi, Ping, how are you feeling?"
Oh, sorry. I should have realized I jumped to quite a few pages.
Okay. So which page...
Fourth page.
It begins with "Will Yudish and I?"
No, "Hi Pritam, I've tried to reserve my comments." Wednesday, 10th November.
I'm at the page.
Yeah. You have
1633,
that?
Yes.
1633, yes, correct.
Mm-hmm.
See the first para? "But I just saw the message that was sent out to everyone."
Mm-hmm.
And there was a message that the DP sent out to all Workers' Party members. I presume you would also receive that message blast asking for Workers' Party members to give their views about the incident involving Ms. Raisa Khan's personal statement and confession.
Yes.
You recall that message?
I recall that message,
And the message was just a plain message, just asking for for inputs. There were no facts, no
circumstances. It was just...
What's that?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you just read down, continue reading, "I feel it's plain as day, people involved in apologies, a little backpedaling." Then the third para is about she thinks it's not fair at all to let party members think they have a say in this process. "If this is done as a mock consultation exercise, then party members will be unhappy their opinions weren't really considered. If it is not a mock exercise, then they will likely all ask Raisa to resign when they do not have the full facts." Okay.
I see it.
Yes. You turn over the page, Dr. Lim, and she goes on to tell the Secretary General, "I welcome the DP to be transparent and share their involvement in this. their findings, barring personal information, so that the party can actually make an accurate decision. Yeah? Then Mr. Singh replies, I hear you, PY, which is paying, but I do think we need to give party members a platform to have their say and so on. And then she replies, I get that, but the DP hasn't exactly told the party of its knowledge and involvement. Okay? And there may be some differences of opinion, but in essence, this has got to do with what Mr. Pritam Singh, Ms. Silver Lim, and Mr. Faizal Manap knew prior to the 1st of November about what Ms. Khan had done, essentially. Yeah? So you see that exchange between the Kada and the member of the DP.
Yes. Okay.
Can I now take you to the DP report submitted to the CEC? And I believe you would have seen that on the 30th of November. This is the report of the disciplinary panel.
Yes.
And Mr. Faizal Manap, and I believe Mr. Singh, had also told this committee that a report was submitted, and it was also flashed on the screen in front of the CEC, and the panel members brought you all through.
I recall this document.
You recall this document?
Yes. Yeah?
And if you see this document, the first page is, you know, the rules, the party constitution, the Singapore constitution. Look at the second page. It sets out
chronology of work, milestones.
And then at the bottom, you see that total turned up, members consultation. 24 members turned up, 10 emails were received, so 34 representations. Right? Opinions, leave the Workers' Party. Differences, mode of departure. I presume that means, you know, that 26 representations were for Ms. Khan to leave, but how she should
leave
is a matter of difference.
Yeah. Okay.
Stay as MP 3, non-committal 5. Okay. And just over the next page, you see the DP's assessment, nature of misconduct. They're telling the CEC that she had knowingly asserted an untruth on three occasions. Went down to the number of occasions they counted. Set out the constitution of the Workers' Party about their responsibilities to be honest and frank with the party and Singapore, and goes on to say she has admitted that she told the untruth, viz. That she did not accompany the victim to the police station, so on and so forth. While she has stood up to correct the error, her conduct is prima facie disciplinable as it is a breach of the party constitution in an official national capacity. You see that?
I see that.
And it goes down with the range of punishments that the CEC can decide on. So they are setting out what the CEC's powers are. And then it goes down, I just draw attention to two paragraphs that are significant. One would be mitigating factors, and it was presented to you that they think that there was no malice or sinister motive. And they say that she made a public admission on 1st November to correct the record, and that she, bracket likely, close bracket, believed the survivor's account. So that's mitigating. They feel that, you know, she lied, yes, but there are some mitigating factors that ameliorate her level of culpability. Then it goes on to say aggravating factors. What are the matters that may aggravate her level of responsibility? First, it was a deliberate act, knowing it was false. Second, it was a belated insertion into a final version of a speech. Third, she had ignored or did not appreciate SG's advice to her on the need to substantiate that particular paragraph.
And that
was probably at the start when the draft was prepared. Yep, you see that?
So I see it.
The DP had placed before the CEC for its consideration what are the factors that mitigate or aggravate her level of culpability. And then they make a final recommendation and observation that, as such, right, doesn't appear to be stable, conduct shows signs of lack of due diligence, party would take a big gamble on its reputation if she were to continue in Parliament. And lastly, the DP recommends that she be asked to resign, failing which she would be expelled. Right. So that is after weighing the aggravating and mitigating circumstances, which they've laid. I presume you believe it was a full disclosure of all the factors, and then made a recommendation to either to ask the CEC to consider asking Ms. Khan to either resign, feeling which the CEC should expel her from the party and, in essence, cause her to step down as a member of this parliament.
I see the recommendations as listed, yes.
Yeah. And so, can I just next draw you to an exchange between Ms. Khan and your good self?
Yes.
Maybe I'll present it to you. She had given this to the COP on the 8th of December. WhatsApp messages with Mr. James Lim.
Yes.
Okay, and this is on the 13th of November. You recall this conversation?
I do.
Message, yeah? She wanted to speak to all the Sengkang MPs to get the advice on what to do moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And you reply on the same day, shortly after a message, that you were, and I quote, "I'm for second chances. Moreover, I believe that being an MP was a decision by the electorate, and hence removal is not a decision that should be taken by the party." All that said, the feedback you received,
mm-hmm.
both from within the party and without, has been overwhelmingly about 90%, although feedback providers are always more polarized than the majority.
That's a negative academic qualification for you, but yes.
Negative insofar as continuing in the role is concerned. So the bottom line is that you need to reflect on not just what the implications of continuing would be for not just yourself and the people of Sengkang, which seems to be mixed, but also the impact on the party, especially in terms of morale among volunteers and the overall reputation of the party.
Yes.
In an ideal world, I like that we adopt a different, more compassionate approach to errors. Thus far, however, we seem to be living in a society that isn't such. Can I draw your attention to the point you made about the feedback that you received from within the party and outside, mm-hmm. and you say it's been overwhelmingly negative?
Yes.
So the public or the people who gave you feedback, as well as the people who gave feedback to the DP,
mm-hmm.
the number of people who made representations in the DP's report.
I do not know who spoke with the DP.
But those people would, like you, not be apprised of the fact that she had confessed to lying in Parliament to senior leadership a few days after her first lie. They and you would not be aware.
We would not have been aware, but as I shared, I had trusted the party leadership that if that was relevant, if that was material, they would have shared that with us.
So when the DP report was presented on the 30th of November to you and the rest of the CEC by the DP, barring what was given to you in this report, you would not be in command of any other facts. Am I right?
No, that's not correct. I mean, of course, as I shared here, may I elaborate?
Yes.
Yeah, so as I shared here, when I spoke, so I'm, of course, a member of the GRC team. So it is important that I understand in my role the sentiment of our volunteers, the various professional staff that work for us, my sense of ground feedback from the voters. And so when the DP report was presented, it was part of an evidence base that I had independently been building myself, as I shared here. When I said the feedback I've received, and I cannot recall, but I would be pretty sure that this predates the disciplinary committee.
This is the 13th November.
Yeah, so this predates the CEC meeting with the...
Yes, by 2 weeks about.
So, and that's why I was able to say that I have received broader feedback than just what was presented during the CEC meeting.
Thank you. So, but on 30th of November, you said on the 1st or 2nd November when DP was formed and you gave your approval as a CEC member to form the DP, you were not aware, number one, that Ms. Khan had confessed to Mr. Singh on the 7th of August that she lied. And number two, that she had confessed to Chairman, Vice Chairman and SecGen on the 8th of August that she lied. Mm-hmm. And that on the 4th of October when she had repeated her untruths, that the three senior Workers' Party leaders in Parliament knew that she had lied. So you were not aware of that.
No,
on the
2nd
of November, and you were not aware of that on the 30th of November.
30th?
Which is the DP report to the CEC. So when you were receiving the DP report,
yes,
they presented to you, you were not aware of those set of facts.
I was not. As I explained earlier on, when I sought feedback, I sought it not on the basis of whether, of course, I wouldn't have known that, as I said, that the leadership was aware of this set of circumstances. But I sought feedback on the basis of what had occurred in the first instance, including the additional instances, but especially the first instance, which was when she had first told the untruth to Parliament. And the feedback I received was that there was overwhelmingly no way that they would be comfortable with working with someone that had lied. And I do not, of course, I did not ask them whether the fact that she repeated it mattered. I think it was, and I think this is for any layman, it would be something along the lines of this, the fact that she is willing to lie on the record, even once in Parliament, was sufficient to disqualify her as an honest representative. And the negative feedback I received was on that basis, that they did not believe that they could work with someone that had made false representations.
So they looked just purely at the instances of lying in Parliament on those two dates?
Again, I didn't ask them whether it's the first time or the second time or the fact that they repeated it, but it was that they felt that she was not trustworthy.
So in your mind as a member of the CEC, what you knew were as follows, right? That Ms. Khan had told an untruth in Parliament on 3rd August, and she had told another untruth on the 4th of October, and it took her almost a month, 1st November, before she came to Parliament to come clean. So those would be about the only facts that you had to work on.
Which is more or less what the public knew. I suppose I did know a few days before her statement in Parliament that she was going to make it. But beyond that, I learned of various facts as they were presented only when it became public.
Yeah. So the very fact that the DP sought to set out aggravating and mitigating circumstances, and while you say you're new to the CEC, new to the party, but looking at how they approach things, they're trying to tell the CEC these are the factors that mitigate her responsibility, and these are the factors that make it seem a bit worse, make it worse, higher level of culpability, and let's weigh what the right decision should be.
Again, I cannot speak for the rest of the CEC, but for myself, what was listed here as mitigating and aggravating factors were part of the entire body of evidence, including what I described when I spoke to other people, with which I made my final decision.
Okay. So let me now set out what appears to be two sets of factual assertions that have been made by different witnesses before this panel, before this committee. And I broadly summarize them as Ms. Khan's evidence and broadly as Mr. Singh's evidence. Both have a common position. And both say that Ms. Khan had confessed to Mr. Singh on the 7th of August that she had lied.
Mm-hmm.
And then again on the 8th of August to the three senior leaders of the party, Mr. Singh, Ms. Lim, and Mr. Faizal Manap, she had again repeated and came clean and confessed that she had lied and gave more reasons. So that is undisputed, more or less. Yeah? And then here's where the evidence diverges. Ms. Khan's evidence is that on the 8th of August, when she confessed that she had lied in Parliament, her takeaway from the meeting with the senior leaders was that She was told to take this lie to the grave. And that's what she's told this committee. And that a day before the 4th October sitting, Mr. Singh had visited her and told her she could continue the lie or narrative if not pressed. He would not judge her. That is what she's telling the committee, right? But Mr. Singh's evidence before the committee is as such. Yeah? I really summarise, and
I
don't do justice by summarising.
I have some field. Familiarity, so yes. That's fine.
Yeah. So Mr. Singh told this committee that on the 8th of August, he had told Ms. Khan that we will deal with the issue, but go tell your parents, right? Please inform your parents. And that was on 8th of August. On the 3rd of October, a day before the parliament sitting on the 4th, he felt that this issue may arise the next day in parliament, and he told her to take responsibility and ownership of the issue. He will not judge her.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And in his view, that meant that she had to come clean on the 4th of October. Mm-hmm. Right, with what she said in August.
I understand.
So that's where the two
narratives,
diverge quite significantly and in stark contrast with each other. Now, so let's just take Mr. Singh's evidence.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We put Ms. Khan's one aside for the time being. That Ms. Khan had lied on the 3rd of August, but had confessed to senior leaders on both the 7th and the 8th of August, a few days later.
Yes.
Right? As compared to what you had known at the 30th November CC meeting and before, which is basically she lied, and then she confessed, right?
Yes.
August, October, November. There's this evidence by Mr. Singh that actually Ms. Khan had confessed on 7th and 8th of August and come clean. Would that be a relevant fact in this episode? Relevant fact. I'm not talking about aggravating, mitigating. Is it relevant that you lied, but you confessed a few days later?
As I explained earlier on, what is material, of course, is potentially subject to some degree of independent interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think without additional information on context, it is not possible to assert whether it is material or not definitively.
I'm not talking about material. I'm talking about whether it's relevant.
Well, I guess I used terms interchangeably. But let me explain, perhaps, if you're willing.
Mm.
So, for instance, if, and this is purely hypothetical, but if she had shared with the leadership, and the leadership said, we hear you. We would like you to nevertheless subsequently tell the truth, but we'll give you some time. In my view, the fact that they knew would not have been material, would not have been relevant. Mm. This would be consistent with, as you said, the narrative that Pritam, Mr. Singh, had shared. If instead it is consistent with the narrative that Raisa has shared, that they had told her to, in her words, take it to the grave, then that would be relevant and material.
Oh, thank
you. For me, whether it would have been relevant or material would have depended on the context.
Yep.
And I had trusted at the time, and still do, that they kept the that whatever material, if it was material, they would have shared that with me. So, given that they did not, I trusted that it was not material.
You know from the constitution of the party that it's the CC that decides on the final course of action to take with regards to Ms. Khan. So the DP recommends, but the CEC has to take that act, whether to expel her, make her resign, keep her,
yeah, I understand.
So on and so forth. So you are the CEC is a decision maker.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah. I'm aware of that.
And so as you just taking from what you said just now, whether or not her confession to party leadership was an aggravating or mitigating circumstance, whether it was material, would depend on context, would depend on circumstances.
Yes, I explained to you.
As it unfolded.
It would have depended on the truth of the matter.
Correct, correct. The truth for the matter, which the CEC will have to determine, based on the recommendations, disclosures that the DP makes to the CEC. Right? Because you are the ultimate decision maker.
So I agree with that. I will just point out, at least, again, I cannot speak for the rest of the CEC, but for myself, my decision was not based solely on what was presented by the disciplinary committee. Yeah. My decision took the entire body of evidence into consideration, as I shared with Raisa.
Yes. But at a point in time when you made the decision, you were not aware of those facts that I put to you earlier, that Ms. Khan had come clean on the 7th and 8th of August. And just taking Mr. Singh's evidence as for now, that you know, that was what he heard on the 7th and 8th of August. And then secondly, on the 3rd of October, what he tells the COP is that he had told her to take responsibility and ownership and he will not judge her. And in his mind, what he meant was that you must come clean on the 4th of October if the matter is raised, or if the matter is not raised, you must come clean. He had two different versions of evidence. And then on the 4th of October, he was unhappy that she had, in his mind, gone against his instructions.
Okay.
From his perspective, that, you know, was breaching what he had told her to do, or what he thought he had told her to do. Would that fact not also be relevant as a potential aggravating circumstances? Party leader told you, and you breached it. Would that not be something that the CEC ought to be aware of in deciding on the final outcome?
Again, I cannot speak for the rest of the CEC. Mm. As I expressed, what was in this document, firstly, was in any case I viewed as an incomplete set of set of factors in any case. Mm-hmm. So that's the start. And secondly, I believe that if there was any material information, that would have been presented to us.
So you trusted the DP comprising senior leaders to lay before the CEC all matters that it felt the CEC ought to have sight of and to consider? Because CEC makes the final decision and there are many people.
Yes.
You're not able to speak for other members, but all the more so, right? You have to present everything.
You are correct in saying that I trusted the disciplinary panel to have laid out what was material and necessary. Mm. But it would have been irresponsible for me to have made a decision of this gravity without also reflecting independently on what I could gather, as I explained, as well as and something that I shared with Raisa as well, what the philosophy and principles behind what that decision would entail. So I did spend an extended amount of time deliberating within myself. Mm. Personally, again, almost to an extent where the few points that were made by the disciplinary panel during that CEC meeting were essentially secondary for my decision.
So you say that you supplemented the DP's findings and recommendations with your own discovery. That means you went outside.
My own discovery. Yeah, I guess that's the legal term.
But that discovery did not lead you to the information that I shared with you that Ms. Khan.
No, of course
confessed.
Not. It would not have. Extremely confidential information known to only a few people. At that point, there was no way I would. My discovery process is not unlike many of you lawyers. Very different in nature. I think about the propriety of it. I think, as you can see, I thought about what it meant to continue to have Raisa as a member of the Sengkang team, what it meant for us to be able, for the volunteers and party members to continue to work with her. So they went significantly beyond just what was listed there.
So, but to you as a CEC member, would it not be relevant to consider whether or not Ms. Khan had confessed when she did so, or whether she had followed instructions, as in the case of what Mr. Singh is telling us, that he had given her some instructions, she disobeyed. Would all these facts be relevant or irrelevant to you as a CEC member determining the fate that is to befall one of your teammates?
I think I've explained earlier on, it just depends on the context. If they had instructed her to keep this information, this untruth to the grave, yes, that would have been material. But if they felt that they wanted to give her space, as Mr. Singh had shared, and what was important at that time, at the time of deliberation, was the rest of the facts of the case, then for me that would not have been material.
So what's important is that it has to be laid before you, and then you'll make up your mind whether it's relevant or not.
I wouldn't... No, I don't think I would say that. I would say that ultimately, in a sense, it depends on the truth of the matter, which would then determine the context.
Thank you. On the 2nd of December, there was a press conference by the Workers' Party, and I saw that you were present on the panel.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Do you recall what was said? Or shall I put it before you?
I recall what was said. I was at the press conference, but I only participated on stage in the second half of the press conference, when the Sengkang team had to present, where the Sengkang team made a statement. The first half, I sat at the back of the room, but I was aware of the proceedings.
Maybe I put the transcript in front of you. Yes, yeah, just so that you can refresh your memory. This is a transcript of Mr. Singh's prepared statement, then followed by Q&A. And if you,
thank you.
If you have any queries about the transcript, we can play the recording back for you to listen. Yeah. Statement by Mr. Pritam Singh. You look at the first, second, third, the fourth paragraph from the top.
The one that begins with
There have been some queries from members of the public about the knowledge the party had about the original speech Raisa delivered on the 3rd of August and what action was taken thereafter. I will address these directly. And you take 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs down from that one. And it says, Raisa shared that her personal trauma and sexual assault explained why she was not truthful about accompanying the victim to the police station, as she had asserted in her speech on the 3rd of August. She admitted this to the party leadership about a week after she had delivered her speech.
Mm-hmm.
Would this be possibly the first time you've learned that Ms. Khan had admitted her falsehood to party leadership after the August speech?
Yes, I believe so. That was when I first learned.
So here we have a situation where a DP was formed by the only three members of the CEC, i.e. the senior leadership, who were aware of Ms. Khan's untruths before mm-hmm. Parliament mm-hmm. in August and then repeated again in October. So they asked the CEC to let them become the DP. And in their presentations to the CEC, they do not place before the CEC any of the facts pertaining to her their involvement mm-hmm. or their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I respect what you say, that you know all of it, it really depends on context, mm-hmm. and therefore the CEC has to be in command of the facts in order to make up their mind as to whether it's relevant, material, aggravating, mitigating. But would you agree that all the facts pertaining to the 7th and 8th of August, of the 3rd of October and so on, ought to have been placed before the CEC for you all to consider?
I think all the material facts should have been in place, yes.
Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Lim. No further questions.
Bill, on the question that Mr. Desmond asked, which I don't think you actually answered.
Okay, I apologize.
You mentioned about things that are material. Mr. Desmond mentioned that as conveyed by Mr. Pritam Singh, he had told Ms. Reza Khan on 3rd October to take ownership and responsibility, and also the fact that he wouldn't judge her. And in his mind, as he shared with us, his intent was for her to come clean and to tell the truth on 4th of October should the issue arise. Would that not be an aggravating factor? You didn't quite answer this question. In terms of her culpability, because she's been told she lied once on 3rd August and then again on 4th October, especially if indeed it's true, expressly told by her leader that she should tell the truth. Wouldn't that be material? In your assessment of her level of responsibility and in terms of disciplinary action, it would be, wouldn't it?
I'm trying to process what you mean by whether that information would...
You said that it would be relevant only if it's material.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking you, the fact that if she was told to tell the truth, if indeed that's true, on the 4th, and she didn't, would that not be material for the CEC to evaluate as to her level of responsibility, culpability, disciplinary action?
Well, if she had been told to tell the truth, and she planned to ultimately tell the truth, I do not think that that would necessarily be material.
So basically, in your mind, nothing is material. The fact that the three of them knew, so there's actually no circumstances in which it would be material, except if indeed they told her to suppress the truth. Otherwise, any other scenario wouldn't be material. Would that be correct?
Well, I have not thought through all the possible hypothetical scenarios for which something would be material or not. What I have thought through was what I shared with you based on the two competing narratives as shared with this panel. So if you're asking me to think about additional hypothetical questions based
actually,
not
we are not
on
really asking about hypothetical scenarios, because basically the fact of the matter is that Ms. Reza Khan, and this is under no dispute, had confessed to the leader and the rest on the 7th and 8th, and they knew that she had lied.
Mm-hmm.
And this, no one else knew, it would seem so, until pretty much 2nd of December when this was revealed. Mm-hmm. And during the course of that period, I mean, there is an allegation by Ms. Khan that she was told to maintain that lie. There was an alternative view, as proposed by Mr. Pritam Singh, that he was quite clear and told her on 3rd to make sure that she came clean.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that they knew, and this was not shared to members of the CEC. You went on great pains to explain how you gathered feedback from mm-hmm. the members, all of which didn't know that she actually had confessed this a couple of days earlier. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that she lied, and clearly it's a serious mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But it came, she admitted it a couple of days later. One could imagine whether it is so, that she might be seeking advice from the leadership. As we have tried to determine is whether was she given definitive direction as to what to do. As we have gathered from the 8th, didn't seem compelling what exactly was said. There are different versions as to what the directions were given on the 3rd, corroborated by two other cadre members who heard this from Mr. Pritam Singh on the 12th of October, as he narrated to them. They didn't walk away with that same conclusion either, that he was definitive in wanting her to come clean. So there are different versions.
Okay.
So, but the fact of the matter is everyone you've spoken to had no idea that actually this was shared to the three senior party leaders as of 7th and 8th of...
I think we established that nobody knew.
So, indeed. And in your mind, this is in no way material. There's no need for anyone. And even if you were to determine that this was immaterial, at least should this fact have been put forward to the CEC,
to key members,
before they gather feedback.
So let me be clear. I think that there are, in fact, circumstances in which it would have been material.
I'm not asking in what circumstances. I'm saying in this particular case, Are you echoing the same view that actually it is irrelevant for this fact to be shared to the CEC?
So I will.
And whether this fact should be shared to the rest of the members for them to then decide for themselves that whether it is relevant or not.
As I explained to you, I don't know how many times I would need to repeat myself. If, for instance, she had planned to subsequently come clean with that information, if there was a plan to subsequently confess, then I think that the fact that they knew that she had confessed to them in advance would not have been material. But if that was not the case, if instead they had told her to lie, then that suppression of that fact
would
have been material.
But the fact of the matter is, who determines this truth?
I don't know about who determines the truth. The truth is, in fact, out there. It's what we are trying to do
question,
is to uncover.
So you have
not
answered the question. And basically is this. There is a fact that this was shared to the three of them. And then the CEC was asked to form a disciplinary panel without knowing the full facts. The members were asked for their feedback. And I think one of the observations surfaced was that she lost the support of her teammates who, at that stage, didn't know the full picture. Now, the question I have for you, quite straightforward, is that should this be something that should have been surfaced so that the CEC members or so that the other party members can decide for themselves whether it is relevant or irrelevant and then make their decisions accordingly?
Should it be relevant, or
in your view, actually is irrelevant?
Let me once again. Let me try with a slightly different example, if I may. Perhaps one way to rephrase this is to say that.
So in all your hypothetical scenarios, how would you know? Because you wouldn't know these different situation scenarios, right? Because
yes,
you've not examined the case.
That is correct, and that
but
is
would
why
you expect as a reasonable course of action to at least be told that, look, this was what happened. And then you decide and evaluate whether it was relevant or not. Would that not be a reasonable way of approaching it? Or you feel that, no, we can let the leaders decide. If they feel it's irrelevant, then therefore it's irrelevant.
As I explained at the beginning, I trust that the leadership would have put all the material facts on the table.
So in your view, the fact that they did not surface this to the CC, nor surface it to anyone else when seeking their feedback on Ms. Khan, and of which some of the feedback and adverse feedback and or lack of support would then also have some bearing on the final actions taken against her. You feel that because they made the call not to let all of you know about the fact that she had divulged this on the 7th and 8th, therefore it is irrelevant for everyone else to know.
I already
would that be correct? Would that be correct?
You said a lot of things. So
yes.
Which part is correct? As I explained to you,
the part that they had already assessed that this was irrelevant and you trusted your leaders, and therefore if they deemed it irrelevant, then there's no need for the rest of you to actually know those details. Because whatever hypothetical scenarios you have painted is actually, it's not obvious to anyone because you don't know of those scenarios. But because they have determined that, therefore, that's good enough for you that you don't need to know. Even now, in hindsight, knowing what you do know, you feel that it's perfectly fine.
In fact, what you just said, now in hindsight, ex post facto, even now when we sit here, I think whether it was material or not, we would have difficulty establishing that unless we knew the actual truth. If the truth was that they told her to suppress
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So
that
we
would
are
have
not.
Material.
So we are trying to determine what that truth is.
Yes.
But you have already stated that actually you trust the leadership and that it is irrelevant.
I stated that I trusted the leadership.
But what we're asking you is it reasonable to expect that this should be shared? Because even at this stage, in hindsight, there are different versions of
yes.
what would seem to be the truth.
And
we are trying to determine
it
that.
It is only reasonable, subject to the context, which is if it was material, then and I even gave you a very precise example of when it would be material.
I'm asking you for a straightforward answer to understand how a particular member of the CEC views this. is whether the fact that this is something that should have been shared with the CEC and the rest of the members as they were asked for feedback.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm not trying to be evasive. I am trying to genuinely answer you based on the way that I perceive the nature of your question. And the way I perceive the nature of your question is what you're asking me, whether I think it was relevant for me to for that information to have been shared. My honestly felt, heartfelt response is that it would only be relevant if it was, and it should only have been shared if it was indeed material. You can think, and I even tried to concretize that.
So who decides whether it's material?
In this particular case, the materiality of it would depend on what actually transpired.
So who decides on what's material? I'm asking you for a decision, a perspective. You say it depends on this, it depends on that. So I'm asking you, therefore, on whether it's material. So I'm asking you, who decides whether it's material?
If...
Should one not bear certain responsibility to make a certain decision?
If I knew that if I were the leadership and I told her that she would ultimately need to share this information...
Share what information?
That she had spoken the untruth in Parliament. And that it's a hypothetical, but if I had told her that she had to come clean ultimately, but I was now giving her space, then I would think that it would not be material to share the information.
So there's no need to share the information with the CEC. There's no need to share the information with the rest of the WP members
Not in that particular narrative of events. Not if that were in fact true.
Noted. Thank you. Any other questions from members? Dennis, any questions? Okay, if there are no further questions for now, we'd like to thank you for coming before the committee. A transcript of the proceedings will be shared with you for verification. So do go through it. And if you have any other minor amendments, do make changes and send the transcripts back to us. The transcripts and any evidence given to the committee are not to be disclosed to anyone or published and must be kept strictly confidential until the committee has presented the relevant report to Parliament. So there being no other matters, our staff will accompany you out to the waiting room. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Sergeant Arms, please accompany witness out. Thank you.
Thank you.